Welcome to the Chop and Beef Show Survivor Finale Edition. We are here, episode number 37 of season 2 of the Chop and Beef Show, coming to you from Mom's Basement. I am Casey the Beef Greekin, your 2006 Tampa campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting most improved student, and it shows. Joining me, as always, coming to us from Tampa, is JJ in Tampa, Jeff Justin, and Zach Locks Parker down there in Savannah, Georgia. We are loaded again this week. JJ outdid himself with 4 pages of notes tonight. 3-4 pages. We got some good stuff going. We got some content. We may dabble a little bit in college football. We're going to dabble a little bit in, not necessarily the politics, but the states that are opening up here. And we're going to have a good show. We do have a lot of stuff. You know we're going to go off the rails many times. We also have a couple Twitter questions that came in from the Twitter.coms that we're going to ask. That's a surprise, though. Boys know it, but that's a surprise. We're not sure they have their answers. We haven't discussed the answer. So we're going to have a good time. We're here. Week number 37. Season number 2 of the Chop and Beef Show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you next. Is this heaven?
The gatekeeper's dead.
That's God, a great way to open up the 37th installment of season 2 of the Chop and Beef Show. We're here live from Mom's Basement. Once again, as always, even though we have to stay 6 feet away, don't we? What's up, fellas? How's everything going this week? Welcome in.
What's going on, guys?
That's about how I needed that to happen. I needed that both to come in, talk over each other, just to stumble our way through this
just
mess.
Just like we're at the bar. Shut up! I'm trying to say something. Let's get it.
Yeah. Let's just get right into it. There's so much sports to get to today. Like, I don't even know where to start. So, one of the main pieces of news came out around 12:30 this afternoon. This is Thursday. I don't know what day it is. March, May 14th.
May
14th.
May 14th.
The year of our Lord 2020. The big news that came out was that Lox went and got a COVID-19 antibody test, and we really need to get to hear about this. Give us a review. Give us a review. This is like the biggest news of the day today, so I'm putting you on the spot early and often, hitting you right with it, right at the
get. Break me in. Just break down all the walls, right out the gate.
Yeah, there's no hiding. I say peel the curtain back all the time. Let's peel it back even further. I wish they took the thing up your nose, but you didn't.
Oh, you didn't do that? Oh, they tried, man.
I guess curiosity got the best of me. I got a text message a couple days ago that the local Apple Care clinic or whatever that I go to when I get the sniffles or an STD or whatever, they were offering they were offering the tests finally through insurance. So I was like, you know what, I've been a lot of places, I've all over the place, from like rural northern South Carolina to Hilton Head down to almost Florida, Jacksonville area, and hell, I started this mess in Disney World. I was like, I'm going to get the antibody test. So I went ahead and did it.
How was it? What'd they do? What's the process? Let our listeners know.
Nothing to it. Just little vial of blood.
Really, really good analysis.
Yep. That was it. So 5 to 7 days, I'll find out if I'm Superman, which, I mean, we know I kind of got some superpowers. But
yeah, right. Who's blood?
Mine. Oh, straight on my left arm. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Wasn't bad. So, yeah, you know, $30. I figure, why not? You know, I'm here to lend my blood to society to prove that, you know, the virus is here.
You are science.
I am. Yes. I'm all science-y. Y'all know I helped my son with science. I might as well just be a test subject.
No longer locked.
Dr. Fauci. You're Dr. Fauci.
He is. I was going to say more of like Mr. Wizard, but
yeah,
whatever.
That's it.
It's whatever.
Closer. Closer.
The last time I heard Locke spent it.
So we'll know, but hopefully by the next week's broadcast, hopefully we'll have some results to report. You know.
Yeah, I can't. Well, just in time. Just
from
in
the hospital bed.
Just in time for the baseball preview.
Yes!
Just in time.
Y'all know when I come in here wearing a cape like Superman, what the results were.
Wait. Because last time I heard about you spending $30 anywhere was at Harrah's in New Orleans.
More than 30, I'm afraid.
Well, we're going to stay on this topic for a second because we did have a caller that was concerned, and we posed a question at the end of the show last week about Locke's and his handshakes, and I think we got somebody that called into the show line, the voice message line, that has a remedy for you, I think. I think they may have. I haven't listened to it, but the call prepper, or whatever, the call screener is telling me that he probably has a remedy. So what's the word? A solution.
Solution.
So here, let's take a listen. It's a 24 second long. Let's see.
All right. Whoa. Put it up there. Let's hear
it. Yeah. This is for Locks. Locks there, buddy. I'm worried about you shaking everyone's hand there, doing the high fives. You're looking for some other ways to make contact, to not touch. I don't want you to get this virus, man. I have an idea. What about the butt bump? You do the butt bump, you'll be okay. The virus doesn't come out the butt. I think you'll be okay, man. Locks, you take care. Bye, buddy.
Man.
Is he sure about that?
I don't know where. There was no science behind it, the call, but, hey, you know, it's worth a shot. Could you imagine being on a construction site just being like, hold on, bruh. No handshake, no fist bump. Turn around. Let me see that rump. Give me that rumpus.
So you have to get up in the air for the butt bump.
How did I not think of this?
You know? Like a hockey check, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just kind of like a more of a snuggle.
You ooh, know, like an Eskimo kisses with the ass?
Yeah. Rub your right ass cheek to the left ass cheek of the other person. Yeah.
I got
to
be honest. Locks is the most popular character on this show the last couple weeks.
We got a little following evidently, which I appreciate. Yeah. Thanks to all the listeners. I appreciate any type of wisdom that I can get from the general public and our listeners. That is great. Yeah. I'll report back as time goes by here. Next time I see a big burly man on a construction site with a dip in his mouth, I'll ask him if he wants a butt bump.
It usually goes over really well in the South. Usually really well. They are
not so good.
They are not homophobic down there at all.
No. Heaven forbid.
Speaking of homophobic, did you guys see the new PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon, brought out a hard peach tea? Oh,
right up someone's alley on this podcast.
Oh.
And I'm not it.
No. Shotgun. Not me.
Not you either.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to try this thing. And I might try it on the show. If I can find any place up here in the Northeast that serves this delicious beverage. I mean, when you add shitty beer to hard iced tea, I mean, God, I love...
How can you go wrong?
I love macro brews. You know, I'm a macro brew, bruh.
Yeah.
But PBR ain't it, man. PBR ain't it for me.
No. You had me at PBR.
But did you know they put out a hard coffee?
Shut up.
Someone said it tasted like Yoo-Hoo. I don't know.
Wow.
So after
I can do that.
After you put out, JJ, you put out this outline that I'm going through. I went to see, because you know there's some assholes out there on YouTube that are going to review these things as soon as they come out. So I went immediately to YouTube to find out what someone thought about it. The guy that did it did a 60-second review. He was like, it's not good. It's not bad. But then he's the one who said, these are coming from the same people that made hard coffee. And I'm like, hold on. My Google search for my work computer today says PBR hard peach tea and PBR hard coffee.
Are you trying to say you actually so you did went some right homework down this hole. Week?
Yeah, I did a little bit on this. I didn't do anything else. Well, come on.
That's a start.
You guys fed me this whole.
He's always been a big cram guy, so he just did it like the last hour.
Yeah, because if I did some research 2 days ago, I would have forgotten that shit by now. You kidding me?
I got you.
Yeah,
Heady play,
right?
Yeah. Wow.
Phenomenal.
So you guys aren't interested, huh? If I can get a delivery service, I don't know if they're going to have it up here, to be honest with you, but if I can get one of those.
It's sold out, I'm sure.
Real
if
quick.
If I find it down here because everything's opening up, I will send you.
Yeah, send me a sixer, and I will do it right here on air. And I will review it. I've had the hard iced teas before, and they're not good. And I love iced tea.
Well, because it's not iced tea.
No, it's...
It's artificial flavoring that it's supposed to taste like iced tea.
So I'm on this Skype call with these boys, right? So I can see their beautiful, lovely faces and their unkempt manes. And I had to go... I've been having problems with Skype the last couple weeks. And I'm on this call. I got to tell you both while I got you. I have you, your beautiful mugs right in front of me, right? And I don't know what's going on here, but the screens keep flipping. So literally the whole time I just see locks going from my right pane to the left pane. And they're both a pain in my ass. But they're both going from one pane to the next. And they're just flipping back and forth. It might give me a heart attack tonight. So I appreciate you guys being on this show with me.
hey, if it gives you a seizure, I know what to do.
Order drinks and just hope for the best. Right?
Finish your chicken nuggets or whatever the hell we got in first place.
Fish or the chicken? Which one?
He'll be fine.
Why does Skype do this to us? Unbelievable.
Oh, well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but so if you don't see me looking up at the camera much, it's that's why.
Where's the producer at?
Yeah, I mean
he's over there.
Are we paying this clown for something?
He's over there. Put him to bed already.
Yeah, he goes to bed. He's two and a half. Two. Yeah,
tremendous.
Speaking of 2-year-olds,
yeah.
Yeah, last right. night I stayed up late because and we'll get to this, but the Survivor finale was on last night. 3 hours of Survivor. I mean, it was heaven. It was heaven. It was really well done, and then it abruptly ended because they do a live drawing of the winner, and they couldn't do a live drawing of the winner, so it was on like a Zoom call. And then they really didn't have a good connection with the winner, so literally it was like off. Which was good and bad. I'll get to it later. But anyway, so I was awake because I was all hopped up on Survivor adrenaline. It's a real thing. Look it up. No, I'm just kidding. It's not.
We can't have this with a baseball preview.
So I took to Twitter just to blow off some steam for some stupid takes that are out there. But anyway, I ran across 2 questions that I posed to the boys. And I don't know what they chose. They don't know what I chose. But I thought they were good questions to have a little content here at the open of the show. Sports related. Sports related. What's one moment in sports history that you wish went differently? And I'll start with JJ.
The entire 100 years of Cubs baseball.
That's a good one.
I mean, I don't even think about it. Bam.
Locks, you got one?
World Series would have been nice.
The 101 years of Cleveland Indians baseball. the game that went into extra innings versus the Cubs.
Whoa! And
the Indians that the Indians lost.
Oh, that was a great game, though. That was a great game.
What was that? What year was that?
I don't know. I blanked it from my memory. Don't you start either. Don't start.
I'm just saying, 17 brain delays are very important.
Don't you start.
Yeah, see, point to the beef.
All right, well, I'll go.
Gears beef.
We don't care.
I know, really, you don't care. 2015 New York Rangers versus Kings. There was a penalty called against Martin Gabrick of the L.A. Kings that should have gone the other way, and it changed the entire course of the whole five-game series, and it was brutal, and the Rangers should have won the 2015 Stanley Cup, but they didn't because fuck. What? All right, so the second question is...
I would have thought it would have been the night the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, but that's also the same night that OJ took all of the publicity by killing his wife.
No, that was during the Knicks. That was the 12th, June 12th, I think, and June 14th was the Rangers.
It was the Knicks, that's right.
Yeah, it was during the Knicks game.
My apologies.
No, no worries. I mean, they were in the finals the same year. New York was crazy that year in '94.
Yeah.
I was 16 years old, and they both teams were in the finals. It was awesome. It was electric. Boogie woogie woogie. The second question that I got off the Twitter box that I thought would fill a lot of airtime tonight is, what is the hottest personal sports take that you will never back down from? Basically, what do you believe that basically no one else truly believes, but you won't ever let it go? I'll start, because just to kind of give you some ideas what I was thinking about. I almost went with Henrik Lundqvist being the best goaltender in NHL history, but I didn't want to go Ranger-centric on this college football podcast, so I went with Dan Marino being the best quarterback ever to play.
Wow. But really?
That's Montana? I mean, that's Brady? Not... Stats-wise, I mean, I think...
But that's exactly right, Lox. I mean, there is an argument. Yeah. There is an argument for all of those, but I stay on my hill. I used to, before this last dance, I used to say Magic Johnson was the best basketball player ever, too.
Shut the fuck up.
I did. I really did. I said before this last dance. He's not. I'm good.
This is from the guy that wasn't really into the last dance before last dance started.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sad. Nothing beats Survivor.
Wow, Marino though. Marino, Danny with his little curly mullet, didn't he have?
Oh, he had it all. He had a perm at one point.
He did have a cannon. There's no doubt about it.
Cannon.
Loved the yayo at Pitt. Yeah, he was awesome.
Go ahead, Lox.
Go ahead, Lox. Go? Yeah, sure. All right.
This is actually something that I put a thought into. And it goes back to December 18th, 2019.
Wow.
To our first annual Drunkie Awards at the 11-minute, 4-second mark. I said, I said that Jeremy Pruitt is the most underrated coach of the year. Yeah, that's right.
That went from the 11:04 mark to the 49:15 mark, it feels like. Good Lord.
It was a great call, though. I'm just saying. I'm here to,
that was the hottest. That was the hottest take.
Because no one else would.
Hell no.
Hot take. Had to roll the tape. I've been asking for the tape roll, so I rolled it myself. Jeremy Pruitt, folks.
Okay.
Yep. Never forget.
Well, since I didn't do my homework and I didn't look at the question, and I'm going off the top of my head. Joe Gibbs being a very underrated football coach because he won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks and 3 different offenses.
Put your ass out there. Is he the best coach to ever live?
No. I don't think he's the best coach to ever live, but I think he's definitely a top 5.
No one talks about him, though. Yeah.
And no one talks about him.
Yeah, that is true.
And I am not. I lived up in Northern Virginia at that time. I saw those Super Bowls. I hated the Redskins. But three different quarterbacks, 3 different offenses, 3 Super Bowls.
I like it.
Nice.
You know. That,
make your stand.
I think he's very underappreciated.
That's a lukewarm take that I'll accept.
You know.
Thanks.
Yeah. Ooh, what a comment. Thanks for that little slap on the back, buddy.
I'll accept it. It's a good take. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, hell no, there's nothing wrong with it, because I said it.
That's true. No. Speaking of nothing being wrong with it, what are we watching? What are we watching? We watching anything on TV? Is there anything on TV to watch? Like I mentioned, I watched Survivor last evening.
What are you going to watch?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you're done.
Something?
TV won't even...
World of Dance. World of Dance is coming on.
No.
That's right.
No, get out of here.
You like the dance.
I used to. I don't watch it anymore. Ooh. Well, what'd you say?
I would actually accept XFL football right now if they'd come back.
I swear. Dude, there's nothing. We have two more episodes of The Last Dance, and then the fuck we gonna do?
Well...
Take a laugh.
Before we get into The Last Dance,
I watched Saving Private Ryan for the 20th time last night.
Before we get into The Last Dance, and we will, just like everybody else that's out there that has a microphone and $5, ESPN is actually starting to get smart here. They have some upcoming 30 for 30s that are hot, The one that I was very excited about is Ryan, our contributor to the show, Rye. He used to cover, he was a beat writer for the Phillies for a lot of years, and he covered Roy Halladay, probably his favorite person and player that he covered, and who died tragically off of the coast of Newport Richey, Florida, in Pinellas County, or Pasco County, I guess he was in. But so they have a 30 for 30 called Imperfect coming out, the Roy Halladay story. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be a tearjerker, I think, though.
Yeah, I think so. May 29th, if you saw the trailer for it, you'd understand what you're talking about. It does look a little sad, for sure. But
they got a two-part series coming out on Lance Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
They got one on Bruce Lee, which I'm not really interested in, and that Long Gone Summer with about Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa when they hit all those home runs.
That was
a great summer, man.
I am all in on 98.
We used to stop what we were doing and go watch them. Cubs are on at one. Cubs are on at one. And we'd go watch, you know.
Seriously. I'd walk in from class and Winstead would be sitting on the couch. Sammy just done it again. He hit another one.
That's
what you say all the time.
It was unbelievable.
Y'all are idiots.
That 98 season was incredible.
It was great because McGwire would play at night, Sosa would be during the day, McGwire would be at night. It was just home runs all the time. It was awesome.
You know, baseball was coming back from a strike. People are still pissed off at it, and those two guys brought the sport back by themselves, really. I mean, just – and now they're shunned.
It'd be interesting to see if there's any interviews with either of them in that episode. I bet there won't be. I'm just guessing. I think it's just going to be a storyteller because – if Sammy Sosa's in it, that'll be interesting to see, too.
Well, have you seen Sammy lately? Looking.
He's about as white as a sheet of paper.
Oh, my God. He might be the guy that survived getting disinfectants.
Yeah, he's a weird-looking cat. And McGwire, he just doesn't want to talk to anybody. He never really did that much, you know? So, I don't know. It'll be good.
He was the hitting coach for the Dodgers for a couple years and Padres and... Mm-hmm. You know, he's trying to stay in baseball,
Speaking of what we're watching, we got a special call from somebody who kind of disappeared from our show for a little while.
Who that?
Who's this?
Sammy Spiller?
Hey. Oh, is Tracy back? Please?
I don't know. Let's hear from him because he's got something hot that he's watching.
You're listening to the Sammy Spiller Sportscast, live from your mom's basement. I'm the one and only Sammy Spiller, president of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. So much to talk about, lots of sports going on. We'll get to our Elite Eight in a few minutes, but first a word from our sponsors.
I gotta take a break. I wanna play in the
This guy's
rain.
Crazy.
All right, hopefully you got a nice cold beverage in your hand. Tough times during this lockdown for a lot of you. course, I've been locked down for about 8 months on house arrest, so no big whoop. I tried to get Woody Watson and his girlfriend, Renee Nae McLeod, a case of that Genesee, to sell over at the high school. The local establishment, they frown on such things. So isolation time's here, but I know about that too. Tina used to keep my guy Ricky Bobby on isolation for months, you know what I mean? Oh! On to our heavy docket of sports. That's what you came here for, of course. So tonight on Channel 9, we got your exclusive Sammy Spiller Sportscast Elite 8. That's right, the 8 great items to have on hand during a pandemic or whatever the frig this thing is. At 8, we got mouthwash, like Scope. You don't need no stank breath in close quarters, you know what I mean, Tracy? At number 7, mayonnaise. Did you know you could put that stuff on anything and make it taste legit?
We do.
Ask Tina. Bada bing.
That's right.
At number 6, we got the internet. Look, what if this whole Corona beer thing had happened 30 years ago?
Corona beer.
You kidding me? You had to watch that through those scrambly lines to see the naked chicks on TV. At number 5, flip the card, please, Trace. It's onion rings. Look, I don't make up the list. I just read the freaking cards. At number 4, we got spring weather. What do you want, guy? If you're not on house arrest, allegedly it's nice out and you can take advantage. Beats the snow and the wind. At number 3, it's sweet tea. Wait, who the F wrote this? Whit Merrifield some shit? At number 2, it's toilet paper. Now, this isn't really surprising. You don't want to run out of this stuff. Trust me. And we're down to the top seed of the Pandemic Survival Kit Elite 8. And it is the broad that looks like Trevor Lawrence. Hey, what do you want? The man with the lady hair. He might run out of eligibility soon. Maybe this chick can chuck that pigskin. Worth looking into. Thanks as always for joining us. Until next time, suckers.
Wow. He's back.
Yeah.
That was solid.
Solid.
There's a lot to digest.
There was a lot, yeah. Really, well, I didn't look at the fact that it was 3 minutes long, so it is what it is.
Came barreling in. Wow. He's back.
He's back, and better than ever, as they say.
Absolutely. You think the baseball preview next week he'll be around?
He might.
Yeah, okay.
I'll try to have my people talk to his people to see if he'll be able to get in for the baseball preview. Once again, if you haven't been tuning in the last couple weeks, we've been pimping baseball preview next week. Be prepared. We are ready, getting locked and loaded. Speaking of loaded, we were talking earlier about The Last Dance. That is what's on television. It's what's good right now.
That's it.
We have a full printer-sized page, not double-spaced, worth of Last Dance things to talk about. So, have it, boys.
You don't have to hit them all.
No, hit it, and I'll chime in. You guys talk about it. Episodes 7 and 8 were last Sunday. The finale, episodes 9 and 10, are this coming weekend.
Yeah.
And then
watching Tears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be hurting.
Yeah, it's been really good, man. No doubt. They talked about his baseball career, man, a little more than I ever thought they were going to, and a lot more stuff came out that I knew, you know. I didn't know the reason that he was sent to AA was because that was the only place that the media could be handled because
that's crazy.
Too small. That is crazy. Yeah. They knew right off the clip, like, no way we could put him in single A or rookie.
Well, God, it wasn't like Winston-Salem a single A Sox back then. So, I mean, yeah,
probably.
You're like,
really
you're
small.
Talking like a field next to a barn.
Yeah, you know? With no hotel rooms to contain the media, even. Yeah. Type of thing. So,
well,
yeah,
even
so
rookie ball or low A, like, they don't play in a stadium. They play at those off fields next to their spring training facility. Yeah. There's no way in hell that. I mean, I just know in Tampa where the Yankees played and where the Phillies played, their rookie ball, man, there's no space for anybody. I would walk back there and be able to watch a game, but there was like fences there, and if you're right behind the players, he would have just been hounded the whole time. Yeah, it was crazy.
He still was, basically, but still, oh, yeah. You know. They started off with a 13-game hitting streak. I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither. You know what I forgot about his baseball career? That his manager was the loser of the 2016 World Series.
You cocksucker, shut up.
Arguably one of the best managers to ever manage the game of baseball.
That's very true.
Terry Francona was the manager of the Birmingham Barons back there with Michael Jordan. That was when he popped on the screen. I was like, holy crap. That's awesome.
Me too.
That was really cool.
Yeah. He's told stories how they used to ride on the bus between road trips because they didn't fly in Double A. They rode on the bus, and he used to play cards with Jordan. Or they played cards. There was some other weird game you would never expect Michael Jordan to be playing. It was like,
yeah,
I can't think of what the hell it is. It's like Othello, or you know, like some of these
cribbage,
yeah, good cribbage,
yeah. But it's like he's ultimate competitive. He would play anything. He was just nuts.
You think the level of probably maturity too, age wise, like the manager and Jordan were much closer than the actual players in Double A.
But one of the things Jordan said that he wanted to be just one of the guys, and he felt like the players treated him like just one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the video footage they had
at their level. You know, he couldn't
skill level
ability wise. Yeah.
Yeah, skill level. Yeah.
Probably less.
So he got to be one of the guys, and I think he appreciated that.
Because after that 13-game hitting streak, as said here in the outline, but, you know, the scouting reports start coming out, like, we've thrown nothing but fastballs thinking we can get it by him because he hasn't swung a bat in 100 years. Let's see what the old number two will do. And he went cold for the next three weeks, they said.
Yeah, a little while.
Yeah, Uncle Charlie kind of abused him.
But then he, you know, they showed the thing too, how driven he was. He would stay, he would hit before, he'd go to practice, he'd hit after, he'd go to, I didn't know that there was this, I didn't know, there's an off-speed pitching machine.
Yeah, I had no idea.
There's a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he worked at it. And, you know, Francona said if he had 2,500 at bats, there's no doubt in his mind with his drive that he had a real good chance of being a major league player, so. Pretty cool, man.
But you're talking about a guy who would have been in his mid-30s rookie.
Yeah.
Or early 30s rookie. And, you know, he he's hitting 200, hasn't played baseball in an equivalent of 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, in organized baseball, and he hits 200 when you have guys who have been playing their whole lives baseball begging to hit 200.
Yeah.
And
250 is good.
And
250 is good.
The old theory is that Double A is really where the most development happens in the minors. Mm-hmm. Triple A is kind of where everyone bounces back and forth, or players go to die, where they're not going to, you know, they kind of just stay there forever. I know a couple players personally that did that happened to. But the fact that the strike of 94 is really what derailed his baseball career. If they don't have that strike, and he wouldn't cross the picket line. Which was cool, too. If they didn't have that strike, maybe he continues to play baseball. It's amazing what happens. That's another reason why I brought that what's one moment in sports history that you wish would went differently. Not that I wish that went differently, but what I'm trying to say, golly, is what happens what's if there's shot? No strike? Does he continue to play baseball and never come back so this second part of The Last Dance doesn't get made?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how things, just small little things like that. And that was a big thing, actually.
Yeah.
You know, strike. I mean, that changed everything.
How much more money does he make Reinsdorf selling White Sox gear?
Yeah.
For, you know, to be able to get more players, more free agents, more to maybe start up a load up of a young 2000s White Sox team, which they won the one World Series, but who knows what that could have led to.
If only we planned better, we could have had the baseball preview last week. It would have coincided with The Last Dance. Best laid plans of mice and men, I guess, you know.
Well, let's write that down.
I'm not quite ready for it yet. I got to do a little bit more studying for the baseball preview.
Lox, was it you that said that you wanted to run through a brick wall at the end of episode 7?
Yeah, man. That little spiel he went through, like, he was just sitting there talking with his whiskey and his cigar, and he just kind of went into this whole deal of, and he basically ended and said, you, and he's like talking to you, like in the camera. He goes, you don't know what it's like to try and win. everything or something like that. He's like tearing up and crying, and he's like, that's it, break. And he got up, and that was the end of the episode. I was like, I don't, but I want to.
It's like, if you don't want to play the game all out,
yeah,
I don't want you here, and or something like that. And it's just, I mean,
he's 50 something, and he's just so passionate, just saying four sentences right there. It still just burns in the guy's belly. My God, it's crazy, you know. I was like, let's go, you know.
One of my favorite.
Me the next episode.
Yeah. Imagine this though. Can you imagine how bad he feels that he can't turn around the Hornets?
Yeah.
You know, as an owner, it's got to be killing him.
Mm-hmm. You see, he still sometimes goes out to practice or whatever and just whips on these kids. And then they're like, oh, man, MJ came out today. He's like, I'm just trying to show y'all what you should be doing. You know, don't try and beat me. Like, have a little sense here. You can you can play better than this. They've been miserable for years now.
One of the great lines that I've heard, and I've seen it now in two of the episodes that's come out, when his dad died, they showed an interview with Connie Chung that basically was like, do you think that it was gambling that caused this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then she says, do you have a gambling problem? And he said, absolutely not. I have a competition problem. That is the thing that we've heard over and over again throughout this whole thing, even when it comes to playing quarters against a wall. Heck, Locks
is that guy. That guy's a legend.
That guy with the hair?
With the hair?
What do they call those guys? The Sniffers or whatever?
The Sniffers. The
Sniff Brothers or something like that.
For the Jock Sniffers, yeah.
Classic.
What Tito calls beef.
That's right.
Sniffer.
But you know, Locks' boys at work there in Savannah, they play that quarter game. That guy Buddy used to play that quarter game and just take dollars from these poor souls. And here I am watching Jordan playing with a quarter, and they're like, he'll throw one, and the other guy's got four quarters to take $20. Like, he's so competitive at that. He gets pissed when he loses a $20 bill, and $20 is like literally 4 cents to Jordan.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't matter to him.
Yeah. But then we get... Go ahead.
No, it's just like you said, you know, when I watched that show and everyone... And I really thought for years it was gambling debts is why Jordan left, you know, because I thought, okay, they got to keep him out for a year. He's going to stay active with baseball. Totally two different sports, totally two different shapes. Completely wrong. It was he left the game because he was just worn the hell down. And had to, and yeah, just
he was.
Once, he was just mentally fried.
You could see it every time he'd walk off the court, and the camera would be there. You could just see it in his body language. He was done, man. And when he won the last one in '93, when he was crying and just bawling on the floor,
sobbing, you know,
his whole
that part they showed him where he's in the hotel room. He's like, "This is my favorite part of the day." He's sitting on a love seat, 6'6". He's like just sitting there smoking a cigar, and it's the only peace the poor guy could get. It's wild. He walks out, there's 150 people there. Yep.
Yes.
That would get old.
I did find it funny that he smoked cigar before games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see him warming up with a baseball bat?
Yeah, he's warming up with a bat.
Smoking a cigar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chewing on a log.
It's like, let's get on a heater and just get ready to shoot some hoops. You know, I love it. Go for my lungs. Yep. I can run full courts all night when I got a couple Havanas in me.
So then episode 8 comes right on the heels of episode 7. I'll be honest. I'm gonna go off topic here for not off topic, but I don't watch it on TV. Remember, I said the whole thing. I'm watching on TV. I watch it on the app in bed. So I'm even still not watching TV, but I do watch it pretty much live now. So, but episode 8 was pretty good too. In the main parts. The through line throughout was basically the grudges that either happened because of certain opponents doing things or even Michael Jordan may or may not have made up a grudge or two. I thought it was awesome, man.
Yeah. He found reasons.
But how dumb of B.J. Armstrong, who when he was playing for Charlotte, he played with the Bulls previous. How are you going to go off and do that and make a scene after a win in one game? You know, knowing how Jordan's going to respond to you.
Just lit the fire, man. And I'm sure Armstrong was just so happy that he played a good game. And one, game. And you know what? They showed it like in slow mo. He just turned and kind of was like, "Woo!" But like he did it at the bench.
Yeah,
if he was on his half of the court and was like, "Woo," you know, maybe that would have been all right. But it doesn't take much to get that guy fired up. My God, he got pissed.
It's like remember, I don't know if you ever saw Bull Durham when Kevin Costner's character told the opposing player that, "Hey, fastball." And then, you know, same thing. He's kind of walking off, jotting around like I'm the badass. Goes, I give you a gift, dummy. You know, it's kind of like what MJ said to BJ. It's like, dude, you just done fucked up, you know?
And BJ Armstrong said, he's like, we knew it. He's like, I knew it right after I did it. What did I just do? And man, oh, man, he went nuts the next game, too.
Yeah, they interviewed Glenn Rice, who was on that team, and he was just like, we knew. Yeah. Then they go in the whole LeBradford Smith story, which I never heard of, but I knew LeBradford Smith in college. LeBradford Smith for the Bullets, like the worst team in the league. Now the Wizards scored 37 points one night, basically on Jordan, and Jordan was really down that night. So the next night they played a home and home. Jordan was told his teammates he wants to do something to that boy. Meaning score 37 in the first half. He got 36.
36 in the first half.
Yeah. In the first half. Ended with like 53. Oh, God. It was great, man. Nick Anderson again saying 45 ain't 23. Jordan comes out in 23.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just – it's a great show. We can go into numerous things. We got it all written here. Go ahead.
How good was that Magic team? Penny Hardaway, Shaq, that Laker Nick team Anderson, Horace Grant.
No, the Magic, not the Magic Johnson.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They were great.
Yeah.
And they won one game.
Yeah, they couldn't even do anything.
But when we talked about this last week, how did they have was McGrady? That team?
Yeah. They're all there were some all stars that he just beat the shit out of.
And that Sonics team,
the Sonics,
was a great team.
Yeah, they had Peyton, Sean Kemp, Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah, great coach. Good.
And George Karl was their coach.
I think another underappreciated great coach of all time, George Karl. Okay, he always makes chicken salad out of chicken shit.
And George Karl unknowingly pissed off Michael Jordan the night before a game at a restaurant without acknowledging Jordan's presence. Jordan looked at him and said, all right, I'll fix him.
He may not even have seen him. He may not even have seen him. You know, it could definitely be like he could have been on the opposite side of the restaurant.
Yep.
Walked out.
Some other bald guy, you know?
but here's another thing. Karl and Jordan both went to UNC.
Yeah, Karl was an assistant coach, I think, when Jordan was there.
When he was there, I think.
I think so, but I think he also played ball at UNC also.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that now, you know, it's like you two dissing each other, you know, both going to Clemson, and it's like, whoa, we used to live together, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
we were common law marriage, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We were common law marriage, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Best part of the episode.
Yeah.
Was the whole thing about Gary Payton. He was so serious, talking about how he just, he knew how to tire out Jordan. Knew it. Knew he had him tired. And then they hand the iPad or whatever to Jordan. And that's how it ended, right? That's how this episode ended. And Michael Jordan at 53 is just sitting there losing his mind laughing. And it's now become one of the best memes out there on the interwebs.
Yeah, it's everywhere, man. It's like the look. He like kind of gives it a little side eye. And then he just starts cracking up. You're like, what? What did he just say? He's like, the glove wasn't ever a problem for me.
How they've turned it into the LeBron thing now is for the meme is just excellent.
Yep.
Because, I mean, this argument's over. I don't care. I never believe
it's over.
It.
Yeah.
LeBron is not the
best. He may be second, but he's definitely not first.
Jordan is legendary status for real. He is great. This is such a good reminder and so well played by him to remind everybody. There's so many people just learning about it, man.
Yeah. it's just really well done, too. So that helps, you know.
Yeah.
And truthfully, just stop filming Space Jams 2. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, unnecessary.
No lie, I never saw Space Jam 1.
What?
Did I miss anything? I don't know.
No. Bill Murray's greatest theatric performance ever.
I'm sure.
Next to Caddyshack, next to Ghostbusters, next to Stripes, next to... Wait.
Speaking of Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Governor Arizona said that his state's ready for professional and college sports in his state. Governor of Florida saying he's ready for professional and college sports in his state. University of Florida said they'll welcome professional sports teams to their stadiums. But California, the State University of California system, Cal State Fullerton, San Diego State, Fresno State, San Jose State, 23 state universities so far, are not going to have a fall semester.
Yeah, so going online.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. But I say all that, obviously there's differences of opinions in these states, and I got, right before the show, I saw that the University of Akron, or is it Akron University?
University of Akron.
Zips, yeah.
Cut their men's cross country, men's golf, and women's tennis today.
I mean, like, permanently, or yep, maybe, like, suspended?
Done.
To save money, I don't know if it's permanent, but I would imagine for the interim, it's gone, you know?
Yeah, they're going to have to rebuild a program.
Yep.
Gonzo.
I'm surprised that, like, what was it, Cincinnati was the one before this? And that was, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
They cut golf, I think.
Soccer.
Soccer?
Men's soccer.
Soccer.
I think it was soccer.
That's right. That's right. But I'm surprised we haven't heard more of this. Quite honestly, I figured it'd be almost like a weekly thing with these smaller universities. But hopefully some are still trying to hang on.
Auburn president came out today also and said there will be football in Auburn, Alabama this year.
May 22nd, SEC goes to vote. That's what, next Saturday? Mm-hmm. No, next Friday, I think.
Yeah, next Friday. Today's Thursday.
The SEC commissioners, not commissioners, I guess, but the presidents are all... they have a weekly call every Friday with Greg Sankey, the commissioner at SEC, and next Friday they're going to vote to see if June 1st is when they're going to open. Sooners coach Lincoln Riley then came out about 2 hours ago and said June 1st is ridiculous and the most insane thing he's ever heard of. It's too early. So we're all over the map here, people. This will be interesting. It's
beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm telling you, the SEC is voting yes. Mark it down. And once they go, being the big conference with the money, they're going to command the money with the dollars on the TV. You watch. Others are going to follow.
Well, so, it's funny. 2 weeks ago, I heard Rutgers and Maryland wouldn't be playing this year for the Big Ten just this past week on NJ.com. Rutgers is ready to play football.
There's too much money to be lost, I'm telling you, you know, and it's really driving an amateur sport, but we've talked about that ever since we've been doing a podcast. It's not going to change either. So
I was just saying
wait for him to
Fortune 500 magazine every year comes out with the wealthiest football teams, and the 6 out of 10 are colleges. Mm-hmm. I mean, University of Texas brings $120 million to the university. Alabama brings like $95 million. I mean, we're talking serious money. Good. I mean,
here's a step beyond that, JJ, is the towns. All right, one thing, obviously, we're Clemson folk, Lox and I read a lot about Clemson football. One of the things I heard today also in my flipping around the interwebs between Zoom calls was that it would be catastrophic for the city of Clemson if there's no football in the city of Clemson. It has nothing to do with the university necessarily. It's the town itself. The board, the commerce, what do they call it?
Chamber
of Commerce director said it would be catastrophic for the city. If there's no, they say on average $2.5 million in revenue to the city every game day.
Every game day. 8 games a year.
Yeah. Not the weekends before, 15 not Friday, bucks. Not Friday or Sunday, Saturday alone. Yeah.
That's wild.
In revenue.
That's a lot of merchandise and that's a lot of people.
City.
And that's a lot of,
yep.
the hot dog steaks, Chick-fil-A. I mean, huge.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And that's just one town.
That's one, exactly, yeah.
You know,
that's, you look at other cities, you know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama is a larger city than Clemson. We've talked about Columbus, Ohio, a massive city.
Right. So they may be okay.
Yeah.
Well, Penn State. But Penn State is strictly a college. Charlotte's
just college. There's a lot of small ones, though, that, you know, aren't in major cities.
Yeah.
So we'll see, man. Yeah. And a lot of these in the South are in smaller cities, I would say. Wouldn't you? Ole Miss? Where's that?
Oxford.
Yeah.
Starkville. Baton Rouge, but that's the state capital, but, you know.
It's not New Orleans, you know.
Yeah, you don't go to Tallahassee to see the politicians.
Gainesville.
No. Yeah.
Gainesville was one of those places tailgating. You're on top of each other. You're literally on top of each other, more so than even Clemson. Like, you walk to the left one step, you're bumping into three tailgates down. It's crazy how close together. It's kind of like what pictures that I've seen of the place in Oxford, Mississippi, the Grove. It just feels like everyone's on top of each other. So that's going to be another thing too. But I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of COVID. But we're talking about the fallout that's coming from COVID. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about the social distancing nonsense. But even Cowherd and Feinbaum are reporting that Southern Cal is going to cancel the game against Bama. That's just the tip of the iceberg, I think, for games that are going to be canceled. We were talking last week about Oregon, Ohio State probably going to be canceled. But thankfully, TCU is supposed to play Cal. So they may jump in and play Alabama because they're both in the South.
Yeah.
Someone's got to lose.
Someone's going to be a victim.
Some Power 5 team in the first game.
Someone's going to be a COVID victim to Alabama.
Yeah. Yep. But even
that's in Arlington, isn't it? In Jerry's World is where that game is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right up the street from TCU at Fort Worth.
Yeah, a little home field advantage.
There you go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got it, guys, and you all send the conversation. We did hear from an insider.
We have an inside information. Go ahead, JJ. This is your thing.
Yeah, and this was, you know, I was just having a conversation with someone, and I said, hey, where do you see this going? And this person I talked to said, man, we're in the same loop as everyone else. It's really up to the government. Now, I'm assuming they mean states' governments. I don't know, but I'll go with that it's states' governments. And he said, everyone's likely going to have the same kind of season. And I'm like, okay, what kind of season do you think is going to be there? Mm-hmm. And he goes, maybe a 10-game conference season is the only type of thing that's really going to work right now.
Makes sense to me.
And it does make sense to me, too. You know, but it was just interesting that the colleges and the people that are taking care of these kids don't know what's going to happen yet either. Mm-hmm. You know, here it is May. What's it? You know, the season should theoretically start in 3.5 months.
Yeah.
And everyone's on pins and needles because they don't know what's going on. And I think that's just, it's amazing how, well, like you said, how the millions and millions and millions of dollars are teetering back and forth every day with this situation. And it's really based on hopefully a cure somewhere.
It feels like they're really pushing for this June 1st date. Why couldn't they push to July 1st for a peace of mind for anybody?
I know that I'm hearing June 1st too, but then I'm also hearing July 1st is really when they need to be there.
So maybe they just need a decision made by June 1st so then they can start putting plans in place.
But why?
I'm sure they already have plans, but I mean, they're talking about letting kids into workout facilities and stuff June 1st. Like, why can't people work out at home? I mean, I know not everybody has that ability, but those that do can and will, you know. I don't know. It does still feel a little early to me, too.
Locks, at Clemson, when we were students there, if someone said, say you went home to Ohio and I went home to New Jersey and someone said, hey, we got, I don't know, something really, really important that's happening on Saturday and it's a Thursday, would you be able to get yourself down there?
I can drive. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right. So you'd take a couple 10 hours to get down there, but you'd probably make it. So how many days does it actually take for these kids to get there. Yeah, yes, there's some California kids on this team that may not be able to drive and what have you. But what right. I'm saying is, why do they need a month to prepare on when they're coming back? They could probably yeah. decide a week before July 1st that, hey, we're going to get going on July 1st. Everybody start making your way back, and then start having the warm-up practices and whatnot, and these kids from farther away.
Like a massive deadline. You're penalized yeah, for coming late.
Exactly.
Like, get here. Let's get going type of thing. But, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know what the push is for the June 1st thing, but I'm seeing that date everywhere. Everything I read is June 1st.
Maybe it's a matter of getting players prepared for the season, physically.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Yes. But they're saying, there's doctors that are saying college-age kids can get ready within a month and a half, get their bodies ready. If they start from zero to get to 10, July 1st is going to be that date that they deem that the players will be safe to play this sport come September 1.
Well, you're seeing this argument in the NFL already, too, of, you know, everybody, Mike Tomlin came out, I think, this week and said everybody needs to be on the same playing field as far as everybody starts on this date. Like, this state can't start before this state can't start, you know?
Right.
Same thing could happen in college, though. And it's going to happen in college. And it's going to probably go by conference and region where, you know, the South is probably going to start before Northeast. And well, is that fair?
Probably and this not. Is, and this is where the NCAA has to act like a
governing body,
federalist body, and say, I know, but that's the conferences going ahead of the main voice and saying, we're going to do what the hell we want to do. Yeah. And should they, for the advantage of their conference, when we're really talking about kids? And that's the most important thing, is the kids.
Well, what I mean, go ahead.
It's all about the kids.
You know, because the hearings that were this week, you know, Fauci said that, you know, he said football game, but I'm sure he meant concert, sports event, whatever, is a perfect setup to bring back the spread of the coronavirus.
Which leads to this question. One player tests positive after a game. What does college football do?
What does that team do? Do they completely shut down?
What, one player tested positive in the NBA, and it shut down the NBA. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, it took a week, but yeah, you're right. You know what is?
Yeah, we got fans in the background.
Hell yeah, they're fired up about this. You know, it's Pandora's box.
Yep. It is.
Thankfully, we don't have to make these decisions.
They're going
to
try.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it worth opening up the season again? And, you know, because if one team gets one player sick and that thing spreads to a team, well, you got no choice to forfeit the rest of your games until kids get better. And that's going to take weeks.
And I'll tell you what, it's worth it to them. Like Beef is just saying, the millions for the city. Think about the university, the money. It'll debilitate and cripple the systems.
Is it worth the kid's life? That's the question mark. And I know that's an extreme.
It is.
Trevor Lawrence came out and said, let's play football.
Yeah. And, I mean, God bless.
But you know what? It's really pretty nice that we have an insider. So thank you to our insider out there somewhere.
Right.
And moving forward, there's now something just as deadly as COVID-19. You know what that is? I'll tell you. Lox's golf swing.
Oh, what? Dude, you're striking it, man.
What are you talking about, my golf swing?
I don't know. I just really wanted to play the Masters theme.
Oh, God. That golf swing's as smooth as silk, brother.
It's all been right. Better.
Well, serious. On a serious note, we do have our last piece of advice here. Sorry, we're not getting to the other two things. It's getting a little late here in beef world. But Mike Tyson, I don't know if people have seen the video. It's out there. But good Lord, this dude is jacked up. and looks like he's ready to fight somebody again at 53 years young.
Is that how old he is?
53.
Wow. And kick ass.
He's going to fight somebody, right? He's going to. Are they going to set him up with a tomato can first?
I don't know.
I say CC Sabathia. You seen CC Sabathia's pictures?
But he doesn't box. Come on. You're just going to.
He's jacked.
Sacrificial lamb?
Wasn't Tyson like fat like 9 months ago? Is he like Tyson Fury? Like Tyson Fury was massively fat, and then he won the world championship. Like
these guys can get in shape so quickly.
Yeah,
I mean they just have a different body than most, and they start they can turn it on and off like that.
Boxers and hockey players, best conditioned athletes, and once you get that routine in, you know Tyson's probably just got to say, okay, I want to run 5 miles a day. Okay. Now it's 12.
And they wear the plastic bags to lose the weight, and then they have certain things like eating habits and things to cut.
They have an eating coach. They have a coach. They have a strength trainer. I have to go to work. I don't have time to meet with my eating coach. I went to Hardee's today for lunch.
Well, like, they have the healthy menu.
Those are good carbs to get that energy going, man.
How many packs of mayo from Hardee's?
What's that?
How many packs of mayo from Hardee's?
No mayo from the Hardee's. I just go straight fries.
Oh, barbecue the sauce from Arby's sauce? That's the best.
No, Hardee's.
Hardee's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Arby's sauce is good, though. Hey, I got a question for the crew, and we'll close this. We'll start the closing process. We usually last talk forever. Hey, there it is. There's a blue can. We're limping through. That's what we do. How much money would it take for you to take one Mike Tyson punch to the face?
Let's see. How much do I owe on my car?
That's what it comes
before to. Before or after taxes.
No, just straight cash, homie. Straight cash.
It would hurt, man.
No shit.
Hurt.
But you wouldn't feel it.
I'd be knocked out. I might have a broken jaw. That would suck.
There's no might. There's no might.
I definitely have a broken jaw for a while. I do like milkshakes. I eat ramen noodles. $1 million isn't as much as it used to be these days.
That's right.
I'm gonna go $3 million.
Wow. All right.
One pop. One to the cheek.
I truly, when I posed this question, I didn't expect it to be that much thought process going into it.
Shit! We're talking about life or death!
Yeah, seriously.
Well, if he catches you in that nose piece, you know, like straight up the nose, can't that kill you and stuff?
Yeah.
Temple, if he catches you in the side of the temple.
Like a COVID test.
I would do it for about $14.
$14?
Alright, no. I jumped in trash for $9.
It was 16.
You know what? If you were 60s. Able to duck your head because of the size of your dome, you might be okay.
You got more surface area.
Like a football spear. Like boom. You know, you duck just the right time, you probably break his goddamn hand.
That shit would hurt so bad.
Do I have a month to prepare my neck muscles?
No.
So he doesn't snap my neck.
It's happening in 1 hour. How much?
I would do it for $5 million.
I was gonna say $5 million. Wow, I'm gonna need a bill. Well, you're a cheap bastard.
We need our fans to put on our Facebook page. We'll pose this question on our Facebook page. They need to answer, and maybe Locks will put it on Insta, the Gram. See what our fans say. How much money would it take for you to comment or to take a punch from Mike Tyson?
That would hurt.
It would really hurt. On that note, we will close this mess out.
I just played badminton with my kids for a minute, just me versus my two kids. I'm gonna be sore tomorrow. Just think, getting punched by Mike Tyson. I would be sore.
On behalf of these two unathletic folks, I am the Beef.
I would take.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Just
just stay down.
Baseball preview next week. Baseball preview next week. Join us. Join us on Facebook, Insta.
Your microphone sounds like shit.
Twitter.
Yes, you just went out.
It's because I'm playing music.
Oh, that's fine.
It's fine. Sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
On that note, thanks so much again for joining us. This is the Chopping Beef Show, episode number 37. Say goodnight, boys.
Good night now.
Good night, boys.